I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
An Erio's original.
My name is Carrie Kenny, and I am guest hosting for the lovely Leslie, who is going to be away from the microphone for a little bit. And I'm going to do a few episodes. Hopefully, I can do them justice for her. If you don't know who I am, I'm an actress. I do comedy. You may remember me from a little television program called Reno 911, where I played a fake police officer. I don't know. I'm on all kinds of TV shows and movies and crap like that. But most importantly, I like to bake and I like to sew and I like to weave and I like to make crap that no one ever sees, but that I appreciate doing. So I'm going to talk to some other makers, doers, movers, shakers.
Hello. Thank you for calling me on my landline.
Well, I just love that you have a landline.
Well, I like to. It's safe. Actually, it just makes sense. And also, I'm a bit of a Luddite. But when the power has gone out before, this still works, like during the hurricanes.
Oh, the hurricanes. Sure. The nor'easters.
Yeah. And what with the nor'easters coming in and what with climate chaos and all.
Sure.
It's good to have a landline. Plus, when the grid goes down, and it will. It'll just be a Tuesday.
My husband says that the landline does not actually, that's a myth, that the landline is also has electricity to it. Is this true? No.
Well, I do know that when we lost power during Sandy,
yeah,
this worked.
Interesting.
So I don't know how that factors in, but for whatever reason, this phone worked.
All right. Well, the next one, I'm coming to your house, then I'm going to use your phone.
Yeah. And again, my number is a Mockingbird 5.
Charleston, 222.
Q-Q.
Charleston. But a lot of people don't know that you, or maybe people do know, you do not have a computer.
I don't. Now, people will think that I'm lying. I know that nobody believes that in modern society. It beggars belief. Even though there are those that believe in gods, ghosts, extraterrestrials, and that the universe speaks to them, it is a bridge too far that I do not have a computer and I do not have a smartphone. Now, I have a Galaxy phone that could be smart, but it's not hooked up to anything, so it's just a cell phone.
Right. You do text, though. I text with you.
I do text. Yeah. Yes, I do. I text and I talk on the phone. I've been known to write a letter, but I did try for a while to use the all the modern technology, especially when I was working at Air America. And it's just, I don't know, it gives me a lot of anxiety. I don't like it. And I grew up without this stuff. And most of this, what we know today as the way people communicate, didn't really kick in until I was already sort of a middle-aged lady.
Yeah.
So it's very normal for me not to do it. But I realize that there's some things I'm not getting from it, but I also feel good that it's a kind of a lack of data mining and so on and so forth.
Do most people say to you, because my reaction to that is that I'm jealous. Do a lot of people have that?
They do. A lot of people who don't know me think I'm lying. You know, because sometimes I've discussed my feelings about technology during stand-up. I know they think I'm lying, which really hurts my feelings, but that's the case. And also then people who do know me very close keep forgetting I don't have email because it's just a Pavlovian. They always say, well, let me just shoot you an email, email, even though it's been going on for years. But a lot of people say, oh, I really admire that. Now, I don't know if they really mean it. It's just something they say. But if I had children and stuff, it would be different.
Listen, I have a kid and I don't know. I don't know what we're getting out of it. I mean, I fully can relate to the idea that it takes off some of the stress, but I feel like I'm in too deep. I can't go back. Once you're in, you can't go back. You can't all of a sudden say, now I don't have it. But I am able to communicate with you perfectly well. You even were able to send me a cute little picture of a doggy.
A picture of it was actually a wolf.
Of a wolf.
Rescued from a baby wolf rescued in Central Park.
Sure. We didn't need email for that. We don't need computers for that.
No. And actually, you know, obviously, for over 50 years, at least, historically, people didn't have this stuff, you know, going back, you know, a few years. I think that now there is obviously benefit to this stuff for many people, for many reasons. But there is also a huge downside. Learned helplessness, cruelty, misinformation, disinformation, people's styles of dealing with each other have changed, and the data mining and cyber attacks and cyber bullying and all this kind of stuff. So that with every positive, there comes like five negatives.
Yep.
And also with the social media and stuff, for a lot of comedians and actors, it's a full-time job.
Yeah.
And it's an obligation I don't want, because I feel the more you put yourself out there, the more you give people a reason to dislike you.
Mm.
And you can do that well enough, I've learned, on my own, just by being myself. And I don't have a thick skin. I would prefer if people liked me or understood what I was saying. And then also, you know, as everyone knows, the surveillance and the data mining and all that, and the hacking and all that stuff. But I just feel freer without it. I also rarely have my phone on me, my cell phone. Now, this is not me bragging at all.
No.
In fact, it's a value-neutral statement. It's just, for my quality of life, it was the right thing to do for me.
I get it. I get it a million percent. And I, in fact, today, this is, you'll probably think I'm lying about this, but I too forget that you don't have email. So I say, okay, well, I'll shoot you an email about that. No, we'll just text about it. Fine. But I, for the first time, and I don't know how long, somehow I forgot my phone today. And my phone is a computer, you know, it's got everything on it. And I somehow forgot it today and have been in like a sort of free flight panic about it. And I do have a kid. So there is that thing of like, you know, what if a school calls, you know, he's fine and everything is probably fine. But I do realize now, not having it for a moment, what a relief it would be, like how much weight it carries in my life, just this like energy. And it's funny because I said to our producer, Amanda, I said, you know, Janine's going to come on and I'm not sure what hobby she's going to talk about, but here's her phone number. She doesn't have email, so contact her in this way. And Amanda said, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Isn't not having an email address almost a hobby in itself? I mean,
well, I suppose, or more of a dabbler, more of a dilettante.
It certainly makes more space for other things in life, because I can't even, I have turned off the thing that has the screen time that tells you how much time you've spent and how much time you've wasted on mindless shit on my phone, because I don't want to be reminded. So you have all that extra time in your life. It's like you get years handed to you where you're not doing that mindless crap.
Well, it's like my life was probably, you know, prior. I tend to read things actually in, like, you know, I subscribe to Mother Jones, The Nation, stuff like that. I also listen to Pacifica Radio to get news, or watch MSNBC and Free Speech TV, stuff like that. It's in a more old-fashioned way, I guess, getting my media. What I don't seem to know a lot about is stuff that people force on me, like, oh, did you hear that Katy Perry and Taylor Swift aren't feuding anymore? Like, sometimes, like, I'll be with a friend who's reading this stuff on their phone, and I'm like, or they force me to look at like other comics if I'm traveling with them on the train or something. Like, say we're doing a gig in Washington, we're taking the Acela together. I can't tell you how many times they're making me look at things that are that go viral or stuff, and I don't really need to.
Yeah, you got to get rid of these friends. You don't need any friends who know everything about Katy Perry.
Well, it's just one. I think they're being funny by showing it to me. You know what I mean? Like, they're pointing it out. Like, oh, thank God. You know, not to be disrespectful to Katy Perry or Taylor Swift. I don't know them, and I have no wish to criticize them.
No, no.
It's just one of those things that it's a bizarre. And I know it's a lot of people also on their jobs, if they get bored, I can understand why you want to look at this stuff. It's like a little like mind sorbet or reprieve. And I completely, it's like when my plane's delayed and I'll read Us or OK magazine.
Yeah.
Which I would never ordinarily get. But when I find out my plane's like 5 hours late, I feel like I'm going to treat myself.
Yeah.
Us magazine.
Well, I feel like though there's some other when you're just reading a magazine, even it's so sad because I hear you talking about like in your spare time. So one of your hobbies is that you're actually reading words on a paper, mm-hmm. like what a concept today. But I feel like when I'm at the doctor's waiting room and I don't have good cell service and I don't know the Wi-Fi password and I pick up a magazine, I actually feel like, sadly, I feel like, wow, look at me, I'm reading an article about the sextuplets. And
Well, actually, you're reading on the phone, I assume, too, right?
But it's different.
It seems like it would give you a headache. But I also usually in my backpack always have a paperback on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think you and I discussed this many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Just in passing, I said, it's always nice to have a good Penguin Classic on you.
Yeah.
Not only because people will think well of you, but it's just, you know, it's light and it's in your bag and it's just, you can never be wasting time.
Yeah.
If you dip into that. And also, as I get older, my neuroplasticity suffers and I try and force myself to do the New York Times crossword puzzle.
We've all been talking
about
your neuroplasticity. It is suffering.
Yeah, well, it's weak. It's weak.
We've all been emailing about it.
And well, I'm sure you have. That's what people do. But the thing is, my neuroplasticity, and I think that now people can stay mentally engaged, obviously, on their phones. I assume they are. But they certainly have lost the ability to get anywhere, not just on time, but to find it.
Okay.
You know,
so this
people walking on the streets in New York, literally in front of the place, and they won't look up from their phone.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly what happened today. Mm-hmm. Seconds ago, Amanda is smiling because I walked in and I said, I didn't have my phone. I've been here 100 times. I didn't know where to go. And I panicked. I don't have a great sense of direction to begin with, but I started thinking, okay, well, what would I do? What am I going to do? Should I stop at a gas station? Should I ask mm-hmm. that lady if I can use her phone? But wait, I don't know my password to my iCloud account to get into my email. So how am I going to it causes so much problems. And really I'm just sitting here and I'm okay. I'm okay, Jane. Right.
Well, can I bring up Napoleon Bonaparte?
Please do.
If I may, I can remember, I was a history major at school, and I can remember in it, and we were learning about Napoleon and blah, blah, blah. But he had said, and I don't know whether he had gotten it from Queen Victoria or something, because she would get Queen Victoria, or the royals get their pressing work in a red box, like a special red box mm-hmm. that's delivered to them, and the most important things are on top, et cetera, et cetera. And Napoleon would also, when he was at the front, get a similar box. And his thing was, I'm going to ignore what people keep saying are pressing, because I can guarantee you in 3 weeks no one will remember it or someone else will have figured it out.
Mm.
And I feel like with the phones and everything, everything's an emergency. Everything's got to,
yes.
you know, everything figured out. But the thing is, people can't figure certain stuff out. Like, and everything I need to know in my life, important things, are written on a couple of different notebooks in places in my apartment, and also a mini notebook in my backpack. Emergency numbers, things like that. Now, I'm a poor orienteer direction-wise as well, but because I make myself walk around and find places. And also when I travel on the road, do stand up, I enjoy using an actual map.
Yeah.
And walking around the city.
They're hard to refold though, Janine, you got to admit.
Well, they have new things called red maps. You can buy at Rand McNally Bookstore, which are a delight.
Okay. And I don't know about these future maps.
It's an actual, like, good looking map that you can just put in your backpack. And it's not really meant to be folded extra small.
I see.
But it is hard to refold them properly. You're very correct about that.
I do love the reference to to Napoleon Bonaparte, I'm going to make a reference to Napoleon Dynamite.
Please do.
He, I believe, at one point said, "That's really cool."
He probably did. You know what? Believe it or not, I haven't seen that film, and not because for any other reason than I just haven't. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I feel like he might have said that in that way.
I don't know if he said it. So, I don't know.
Oh, he might have. He might have.
I'm giving references to something that just happened a few years ago, and I'm getting it wrong, and you're giving references.
If you had your phone, you could Google it. Mm.
Jesus Christ, we're lost at sea.
I enjoy looking things up. I have a really nice set of encyclopedias, and
you do.
I've got some really good dictionaries that I've bought at Housing Works Bookstore. They have these old, lovely sets for very inexpensive, and it's such a great thing to look stuff up. Now, also, I'm forced to use them to try and conquer the crossword puzzle I mentioned earlier, which I still can't conquer.
Oh, dear.
I try and look up, like, oh, maybe if I look up this reference, I'll understand what they mean. It has a language of its own that I can't crack. But
right, and some
I can
of them are more modern references in crossword puzzles that you're not going to find in ye olde Encyclopedia Britannica, right?
True.
Yeah.
And some of them, like, the every once in a while, I'll get, like, Dr. Dre, I could get something like that. But a lot of it, the New York Times crossword puzzle has a language of its own. I can do the crossword puzzles easily in the In-Flight magazine, but that's not meant to be a huge challenge. But I enjoy doing that stuff, and I also feel I need to, especially as I get older. My brain isn't working as well as I would like it to.
Well, you're doing what we used to do, which is keeping your brain knows it needs to be busy. Your brain knows it needs to be exercised. So while you're not sitting mindlessly on the phone looking at shoes for hours, not that I do that, but I've heard that people do. Not while you're not doing that, you're actually doing things to exercise your brain, like old timey things like reading or looking things up or doing crossword puzzles. I'm envious of that, because you have to have all or nothing, because if I just do the time limit thing where I say, okay, so I'm going to put my phone away at this time and we're going to do this, there's always that gravitational pull. Like, let me just look this up. Well, let's just check.
I feel like that's got to be some kind of learning, right? Looking something up. And also, Kara, you have a fuller life than I do. Most people do. That's another thing that I think. I don't have children, which is a choice that I made long ago, because I'm risk averse, and I just have never wanted to go down the road of having children. So
Christmas is coming, so you don't know what you might get.
A child?
I don't know. I'm not saying that I got you a child. It's going to be a surprise. I'm not going to say it. I don't want to spoil the surprise.
I enjoy a very fat baby's foot in my mouth. That I like. I like to put babies' feet in my mouth. Other than that, I don't want to get involved in that. Now, also, you probably have a much more active social life than I do. I have, you know, in New York, one of the great things about living in New York is between Manhattan and the outer boroughs and Brooklyn, you can do stand-up 7 nights a week if that's your desire, you know, when you're on the road, and it is my desire. I do enjoy it, and I enjoy walking to and from from the shows, and that's another. But I guess that would be a hobby of mine. I enjoy walking,
yes,
a great deal. And but other than that, I have to say, especially since I stopped drinking in the early 2000s, I am not social like other people are, and I my life is actually very small, if that makes sense. And I don't mean that in a isn't that sad way. I mean that in a So I probably have less, in a way, neuroplasticity. I don't fill every minute of every day. I don't feel compelled to stay busy, be busy. And, you know, without the social media and stuff, my career has taken a hit. There's no doubt about that. I'm willing to take that hit for being less present, for being less people being less aware of me. I have to do smaller venues on the road. I'm willing to do that. And also, you know, acting-wise, there's so many things one has to do to stay in the game that I can't. It's not me. That is just not me. I was lucky in the 90s. Then things dipped. And it's not in me.
Well, I think you're selling yourself super crazy ass short. Everybody knows who you are. You are a fucking legend.
I know for sure that that's not true, and that's okay. Well, that's very nice that you say that. But it's okay that people don't. But I know that that's not true. But that's okay.
Well,
it's okay. I mean, it would be nicer to have more access to opportunity acting wise. But that, you know, it is what it is, and it's an elective profession. But again, I don't know how the tweeting would help or anything like, you know, I don't fully understand that.
I also think that's generational. I don't think that helps me. I do it. I don't know. I don't think people are like, wow, that was a hilarious comment she made about that.
Well, I hear Netflix meme. And shit, people look like that. Like, how many followers does so-and-so have? Now, I don't agree with that paradigm, but that's the nature of the business these days. And, you know, so I am... There's a fake me tweeting and a fake Facebook me, I hear. I don't know why that is, but I've heard that comment.
Oh, that's fun.
I shudder to think what they're saying. I have no idea. I do know that there's been some things, opportunities I've lost because I don't have any Twitter followers.
You know, when you mentioned walking in New York and that, mm-hmm. like I have lived out, you know, I'm from New York, as you know, I've lived out in California for quite a long time now. And it's great. It's beautiful. How do you complain about this place, mm-hmm. this magical place by the water? But having come from New York, one of my hobbies, one of my favorite pastimes, and it's not just that, it's like a part of my soul, is
it's therapeutic.
Like my husband's happy place is being at the beach, you know, like when you go to a, mm-hmm. you're at a meditation and they say, you know, okay, close your eyes. You're in a peaceful place. So they always say, you know, you're in a meadow or you're on the beach, feel the sand in your toes. Mm-hmm. My brain starts to go like anxiety starts to set in, but mm-hmm. my happy, relaxing place and a thing that I need to do and that I enjoy doing. And I set time aside to do when I go back home to New York is just walk by myself, mm-hmm. walk with friends, walk. But it's a thing that I do that keeps my motor going. It sparks my imagination, my creativity, and it makes me feel safe and calm. And my happy place, I realized one time when I sat down in this meditation class, she said, picture the place. And I started with a beach and I realized it's not a beach. And as I developed it, I realized what it is 5 a.m. in the East Village in New York with a deli coffee and a cigarette, and it's kind of drizzling. That's my mm-hmm. happy place that I go to. So anytime I'm in New York, I make time for that. Some people make time for shopping or for seeing music or for whatever. I always make sure that I have time for just wandering.
I would say I would like the deli coffee, not the light drizzle.
Yeah, but and I don't smoke anymore.
It would be in the evening.
Yeah,
and it would be crisp and or cold.
Oh yes,
because I do still smoke. But there's nothing tastes better than a coffee regular in the Athenian cup from a deli.
They still have the Athenian cups. Yeah,
yeah, in some delis. Yeah, in some. And there's something about just the coffee, milk, and sugar in a perfect ratio.
Yeah,
with a cigarette,
regular coffee
snaps. It's a cold. It's cold out. It's crisp. Mm. It's clear. And you're walking in New York at night. It is nothing better. And it is also what, like, last night and tonight I'll do it, is I've got shows at Eastville, which is on in Brooklyn on Atlantic between 3rd and Nevins. And I live by Washington Square Park, and I will walk. And it's not far, really. You just go over the Manhattan Bridge.
Mm.
And at night, it is my delight, especially going over the bridges. And yesterday and today, it's been a bit colder. Now, unfortunately, it's going to heat up again. But that is something to me at night, walking. And New York is also quite safe, as is Brooklyn, for the most part. L.A. is not. It's deceptive. And
I
was just in L.A. last weekend, for 2 days last week, to do an episode of Stumptown. I tried to walk, but they don't make it easy in a lot of places, because I was staying, unfortunately, at the Universal Hilton.
Oh, forget it. You're going to walk on the 101.
You'd have to basically walk on the 101. Now, I did find some place on Cahuenga to walk, and also what I do miss, though, is the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
I love the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. They tried it here in New York, and it didn't work, and it made me want to weep because I love it so much.
I'll send you some.
It is what it is, but in L.A., I try, and you can, but you do need to know where you're going, and the later at night it is, and depending where you are, it is not safe, whereas here, It is. Actually, I agree. For the most part.
There's safety in numbers, too. In L.A., there's a lot of places where it's just you and a street and cars and one random dude.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, yeah.
And also their public transportation is not, I think, up to par yet.
Well, it's too big a city. It's a massive city. It's too hard to get around. So I would say when, you know, it's so sad. It's so sad, especially as a former New Yorker, to admit that when I go to walk to just, you know, like not exercise, because I don't understand what that's all about. But when I go to just walk to pass time or clear my mind or something, I actually drive my car to an area where, not hiking, just an area where there's like a sidewalk and a place to walk. I drive to walk. It's really sad.
Well, you know, I used to live in Los Angeles from about 91 to 96, and very often people would say, I saw you walking the other day, with a kind of like, is everything okay? Or what are you I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making that. But I mean, more people walk now in different places. And I also used to have a bike there, because it actually is safe to ride your bike at night, because you can ride right on the sidewalks.
Yeah.
Because there's not really anybody there.
Right.
But
well, now everybody's on a, is it the same in New York? Now everybody's on these like scooters, like the electric scooters that you just kind of
rent. There's a lot of electric scooters, but there's lanes for that here.
Right.
And it's much more organized.
Yeah.
And it's just, now definitely the sidewalks can be clogged in certain areas here, but I slalom walk. I walk as fast as I can. I don't like to exercise formally. It is like slaloming. I'm dodging in and out, and I walk
Janine,
very, very fast.
Janine, I saw you slalom walking down Cahuenga yesterday.
Slalom walking the other day.
Is everything okay?
It is. I just can't stand walking slow. And that's why when I walk, it actually isn't pleasurable for me with walking with people, because they never seem to walk fast enough.
It's a solo sport, the walking, especially in New York. When I go with my family, I'm from the second we get off the plane, I'm mad at them. They're doing nothing wrong.
My sister's coming next week. It makes
me
crazy.
I'm mad at her. I haven't even met her. I'm mad at her.
Well, she's going to walk so slow, and her shoes are going to be wrong.
No. Yeah, there's definitely a sort of New Yorker walk thing that happens that you need to sort of
Well, actually, not
with.
So much, though, Kara, because of the phones. You have people walking.
Everybody's got their head down.
So effing slow with their head down. And so since I am not in the phone and I don't have earbuds in, it's incumbent upon me, especially when I'm walking the dogs, to make sure I'm aware of these things. And that's also why I slalom when it's just me. But what does it take to look up? Man, you can't fight City Hall on this. I don't know what can be done, but people's manners in this area and consciousness in this area is very, very poor. Now, I don't know if that's a comment on they themselves or just a comment on what has happened with the technology and the phones, but who are you talking to? You know, because many of the time I'm walking, it can be 3 a.m. Whether I'm just taking the dogs out again or I'm just coming home from somewhere, and who are you talking to?
Yeah. Well,
you know
a lot of times people aren't talking.
Who are people talking to?
You're looking stuff up. I don't know.
Well, some people are talking. They're actively talking. I hear them. And some people are just looking stuff up, and I'm like, no one pays attention, for the most part, to their pets anymore.
Yeah.
Let alone their children
kids.
And strollers.
Oh, for sure.
For Christ's sake.
For sure. And I'm guilty of it. I remember a Christmas when I was on the phone trying to do something for my son, and I'm on the phone, I'm trying to set up a play date, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to order, make sure this gift came and that gift came, and he's tugging on me, and I was like, what? And he's like, Mommy, will you play with me? And I was like, I'm just trying to make a nice Christmas for you. And that's really sad. It's really sad.
Oh, he'll bring that back up again. Oh, that'll come back.
Please. I'm saving a big fund for therapy for this boy.
So tell him that you acknowledge it in advance. Just say, I know.
That's what I do.
All I see is parents not, you know, and like I said, I return kids' shoes because their shoe falls off when they scoot a lot of times, little kids' shoe, or in the stroller, and I will pick it up and run after the parents or the nannies who are on the phone and hand it to them.
Excuse me, you dropped your infant about two blocks back.
Also, you've pushed the stroller into the crosswalk.
Into the street, yeah.
To a degree. And it's crazy, but it's, I don't know what to say. It's unbelievable. You know, people they're looking down, but also people's lives. It's a pressure that I'm sure that, as you've said, you feel, and it's a peer pressure.
Yeah.
You as a mom making a nice Christmas and doing what you do. If you were to let go, like I was talking to Jamie Denbo a couple of years ago, the wonderful Jamie Denbo,
yes,
who really holds the line, or at least this is the last time we spoke about this, with their kids.
Yes.
Really holds the line about them being on the technology.
Yeah.
But she can't do it when their other kids' parents won't do it.
No.
With the video games and this, that, and the other. But her and her ex-husband, and I'm sure current husband, have make it their business to keep the kids off that stuff and outside playing or what, reading and what have you. But she can't do it without the help of the group.
Right.
And the group isn't going to do it.
Absolutely not. But also, you know, we have a kid who, our son is incredible at all things computer. He's no doubt he's going to go into something in this field. So there's that tricky line where it kind of is, it's also that tricky line in life where, you know, it's now that I have the computer and the phone, that so much about it is frustrating, but then it just does make things much easier at times. Does it make me more crazy? 100%. But did it get that one thing done faster? Did it help with that? Yes, it did. And I see it with him with computers. He's so incredible, so fast, types like crazy, and then creates these incredible, 3D prints and does all this sort of engineering programs.
Well, that's good. That's different.
Video editing.
She was talking about games.
But he's gaming too. He's gaming too. It all sort of it lumps into one. We tried at one point to say, okay, so when you're on the computer, we've got to do this much time of it needs to be productive and this. And then there's that gray area where there's a game where you build something and you have to see. Mm-hmm. It's really hard when being part of this generation that you and I are part of, growing up, not having a lick of this stuff. We had a answering machine that you plugged into the wall. Coming from that generation into this generation and knowing where the line is, it's the future has yet to be revealed.
Well, I think that there is no line. Your son is the future, and I am unfortunately not just the past, but also there's things that I can't do. Do you know what I mean? Like I literally can't use or do.
Oh well, that's the beauty
my
of having.
Won't do it.
Yeah, well, having a 14-year-old in the house is that's the only way everything keeps running is because he knows what to do with everything.
Well, and which is I understand that, but at the same time, like on an airplane, I'm forced to, no matter how long the flight, I got to read, which is a good thing because I can't download an app for their in-flight entertainment.
So
system.
What
That's
else?
Okay.
What else do you do? I mean, this sounds crazy for me to say, but I almost can't remember life before all of these devices, and that's nuts to say. But sometimes I do think, like, if I'm somewhere without my phone, or if the power is out, or something, I do have that moment where I go, okay, what did I do before? And I have lots of like crafting things that I do, but often in the background will be a show, some music, something. You come home. Are you mostly reading? Do you also?
No. I would have to say during the day, yes, I'm mostly reading or, doing, I don't know, doing different things or, cleaning for sure, because my boyfriend who I live with does not, will not. And also we have dogs and foster dogs and this, that, and the other. So I'm constantly Swiffering, Clorox wiping, and Febrezing.
Yes.
Not eco-friendly, but I don't have children, as I mentioned, so I've got some wiggle room.
Right.
errands, little errands stuff, but I, for sure, definitely reading during the day. Now, again, I wish I had more acting work and stuff during the day. I don't. That's just a fact.
But you're clearly filling your time. You feel fulfilled.
I'm filling my time with stuff I want to do.
Yeah.
And I also, I draw, I make jewelry. I get into like little hobbyist crafting stuff too. There have been times where I've worked with different theater companies, you know, workshopping plays, things like that, just for fun. That, you know, on any given day, at night I do stand up. When I come home at night, I tend to watch MSNBC, Netflix. I have to say, I can get lost in specific type of television. A lot of PBS, a lot of Adult Swim. The best comedy is going on at Adult Swim at like 2, 3, 4 in the morning. So I am not ashamed to admit that there is very specific television I want to watch at night, late night especially. And it tends to be comedy stuff or British stuff and news stuff. I like watching Lawrence O'Donnell and Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes.
And what kind of jewelry are you making? I've never heard this.
I've not handed you a bracelet. It's not good. I just make bracelets and necklaces and just to give to people or just to do just for shits and giggles. And I love going to a bead store. I can get lost for hours.
I love
in a bead
store. Listen, all my crafting that I do is shits and giggles. There's nothing there that somebody's going to want to pay dollars any more than shits and giggles for.
Yeah, shits and gigs. I make collages. I have sketchbooks. I have stuff like that. I am mediocre at best at everything. I just enjoy it.
You know, I feel inspired by you because I have a similar brain to you in the sense that too much noise is a very bad thing for me. So
I don't know if you can hear the drilling that's going on outside.
Are you doing amateur dentistry as well? Is that one of your new hobbies?
No, that's not me. That is it. That is Con Edison in the street, I have to say.
I see.
Going through the concrete. I wish I could get into amateur dentistry, but it's you know, it's tough. It's competitive.
Oh, you can do.
And also,
listen,
other people's mouths are disgusting.
You can start on me.
Well, you know,
if you're
open to it, next time I see you,
yeah,
I'll give it a go.
Just get a little starter kit on Amazon. I'll order it for you since you don't have Amazon.
I can't order it. But here's the thing. My boyfriend is on the computer all the time.
Okay.
I live with.
So you're not sitting there with no supplies.
No. I have to admit that he has, on occasion, I'll say, could you order me this thing? But that's after I've tried to find it.
Good girl.
You know, on my own. And then that happens. Or sometimes, absolutely, somebody will, business-wise or something, I have to ask him to get on the computer and answer this question for me. I don't like to do it because it makes me feel helpless. And again, you shouldn't admire me. Believe me, your life is, I'm sure, much busier, fuller. Your brain is much more active than mine, I'm certain. And also, like I said, I don't say with pride that I don't do these things. It is just something I am able to do because I don't have children. And also, when I was doing well in the 90s, I saved all that money. The only smart thing I ever did is I didn't buy anything.
Yeah.
When I was making a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm financially secure for a single person. You know what I mean? I own my apartment. I have the ability to live in this way, which we're making it sound like some backwoods pioneer.
Yeah.
But actually, in modern culture, I guess it's highly unusual.
Highly unusual. You're right. It's highly unusual. But I guarantee you, at least of our generation, I think most people's first reaction is wow, wouldn't that be a relief?
I guess it would, or maybe some people have been surly about it because they think, A, I'm lying, or B, I'm bragging, which
yeah,
I'm doing
neither. And I think people are threatened by it. But I think of all the things that I would have done, all the conversations I would have had with my son, all the you know, things I would have made, the more elaborate dinners I would have cooked if I hadn't been spending that extra 10 minutes a day, hour a day, doing crap that it's,
but it isn't crap probably, and it's probably something that did need to be done. And also you either have to do one of two things, I guess. Either one, really make a change, or two, just accept easily this is who I am and this is what I'm doing and this is what's happening in my life, that I am on the computer this much, it eases my life or whatever, you know what I mean? So probably what's creating angst or tension is that you're trying to fight what you're doing.
Well, I keep hoping
rolling with it.
I keep hoping because like we were saying with Jamie Denbo, how, you know, that we sort of need this collective world to say, OK, guys, can we just agree we're not going to do this much computer for kids? And until then, there's not a lot you can do as a parent, except in your own home, obviously. But I'm kind of hoping that in the way that all, you know, millennials started deciding that mustaches and vinyl records were to come back, I'm kind of hoping there's going to be a resurgence where they're going to go, okay, you guys, like, let's do something about the phones. Let's do
I think about that. Like, is it going to be
hip?
Generation.
Yeah. Is it going to be like hip to not do it? Because I go to places, go to comedy clubs, go to concerts, and I see certain people, most people not actually looking with their eyes at the performer,
looking through
the phone. And I think I just want to stand up at the beginning of the show and go, you guys, how about this? We'll pick one person who will film it, and then we'll all get their number, and we'll or you can go on YouTube tonight and we can watch it, but let's like all put it down.
I don't understand it. And, you know, I was in Portland 2 weeks ago, and I was walking and it had rams on my way to the club, and it rained. And then after the rain, there was a lovely rainbow. Every single person around me turned and raised their phone.
Yeah.
And I was I was thinking, can you not just look at it?
Yeah.
Can you not just look at it? But see, the thing is now there will be a backlash segment of society, as there always is. In the same way that there's urban gardening and dumpster diving and crusty punks and all manner of niche
steampunks. Yeah.
There will be a niche of people that go neo-Luddite.
Yeah.
It will only be a niche because you cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. It would be like me saying, I'm not going to use a telephone anymore.
I was going to say, when the shit hits the fan at the end of the day, and the zombies come running, you are going to be just fine because you are used to living a simpler life, and we're all going to panic and not know how to get from A to B.
For me, it will be absolutely normal, and I don't say that with pride or glibly. For many, many people, it will be a huge panic for them. Now, of course, I also keep cash. Actual cash in the home.
And what's your address again? Just remind me.
Mockingbird 5.
Right. Charleston, 222.
Yes, Charleston 722.
We were taught by our elders to have a little cash.
You'll need cash just to buy food.
Yes.
For your kid.
Right.
Or for your pets or whatever. Or water.
Right,
it's just,
right.
It's just that simple. Now, most people never have cash on them, and they will buy a soda with a debit card or a credit card, ignoring all the hidden fees because they don't listen to Susie Orman.
Right. Oh, Susie.
As they should. And also, it's more data mining.
Right.
And I know that most people don't care, but there may come a time when you will.
You will. I'm totally fucked because do you get spam phone calls?
I do get spam phone calls, but it's not a lot at all. Most people get a great deal. I would say I get a spam call maybe once every 2-3 weeks.
I get, this may surprise you, but 7 out of 10 calls that I get are spam calls.
So that's a hobby in and of itself, Miss Carrie, ignoring spam calls.
Yeah, but you know what? A hobby, a definition of a hobby, I was actually looking this up the other day, is something that you do in your leisure time that's for, and is specifically for pleasure. Because I've got a lot of hobbies that I thought were hobbies, but it turned like obsessive organizing and cleaning that I realized, I don't know.
It's not for pleasure. I have the same
it's
problem.
It's not for
There's
pleasure.
Obsessive patterns.
Yeah, but I do feel like you, in your decision to not be part of this...
not be part of modern society.
To not be part... I'm just trying to put it in a abstract way.
Well, it's
way.
Really it's actually
to not be
what
part
it
of
is.
Modern society.
Am,
yeah, sure.
I'm left behind.
That you... No, you chose... You're choosing to just not... be totally behind. You're hanging off the back, but
I'm a semi-Luddite.
You're walking peacefully, slowly up behind, not in a hurry. We're all going to get there at the same time. You're just going to show up much calmer and less sweaty than we are.
But I got plenty of other reasons to get anxiety, and I have all these kind of patterns I don't let go of that I feel like I must accomplish during the day before I can even leave the house, and it really upsets me. I can't seem to let go of certain obsessive patterns, and it involves cleaning and even just personal maintenance.
Well, it's control. It's a sense of control. Yeah, don't you think? So
it might be, but it's something I would love to let go of because it eats up time in a way that makes me feel I'm not in control of it.
So
I'm not in control of it.
When you say you have all this, something that eats up time, and I mean, to me, for somebody who has more free time because they're not
I have too much free time. Too much.
You do. Because I was going to say, when you want to make room for more time, what do you imagine spending more time with your dog, spending more time with your boyfriend, spending more time
reading? Well, the thing is, though, I have so much free time that you couldn't make more free time.
Right.
The only time that's not the case is travel days on the road, you know, when I'm putting my shoes in a bin or, you know, wasting time at the airport. Or on those occasions when I am doing a play or the occasional acting job.
Yeah.
Other than that, it is dog central, boyfriend, you know, too much. I'm not with the dogs, but with the boyfriend, there can be times when I'm like, stop talking.
Not too much time with the dogs, but too much time with the boyfriend. I got it.
Because we live in a one-bedroom apartment, and we've been together 24 years.
Oh, yeah. That's plenty of time. It's time to let that go.
More than enough.
Yeah, put him on.
Yeah, that's why when I travel and people are like, "Is he going to go with you?" I think absolutely not.
Dear God, no.
Nor would he want to. But it's one of those things. But what I should do, I think, for mental health is I wish I was more inclined to be social as I used to be.
Mm.
I wish I wanted to do that more, but I find that I. Once I get somewhere, I'm like, I can't wait to leave. It's a very strange problem.
It's not strange. I think that's very common. And I also think it's something that's common with performers. I think, you know, when you are the entertainment for a living, I think social situations can be uncomfortable and confusing. I don't know. I feel
that way.
Well,
they can be if it's people you don't know that well.
Yeah.
Like going out with, but it isn't with like the wonderful people you and I are so lucky to know.
Where it's a small group.
It's a delight.
Close old friends.
It's a delight.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet I still don't. If you don't have email, you'll never be invited to anything again, which to me is a relief. Now, some people will go the extra mile to text me about something. But for the most part, if they can't email you among the group, you won't get invited. But that's fine because I don't like to go to brunch. I don't want to do anything in the morning. I don't want to go to somebody's birthday dinner where there's going to be like 25 people who are rude to the wait staff accidentally.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff, especially since I can't drink anymore.
Well, that's absurd. That's absurd that people wouldn't invite you. So when I come to New York in a couple weeks, I'm going to text you. And you're gonna come to a special brunch for a stranger.
Well, I can't see that's the thing. Brunch will make me. No, I can't do it. I can't do it, Carrie. I already have anxiety.
I'm just teasing.
I'm already thinking of the excuse. I'm gonna be in Scotland.
Okay. No brunch.
I'm gonna be in the Scottish Highlands.
No brunch. No birthday.
It's very specific.
Okay.
You can use that one too, Carrie, because nobody would doubt you.
I'm also gonna be in the Scottish Highlands having a brunch. Honor.
I'm going to be in Aberdeen.
And it's going to be a traveling brunch that ends up in Aberdeen.
No, I'm going to Edinburgh.
It's in Edinburgh next Tuesday.
Thank you for having me on your podcast. I hope I wasn't very boring.
You're
for your
not
guests,
very boring.
Who also will think like that's she doesn't have a computer.
Oh my God, Janine, I love you. I'm going to come see you in New York. And you know what? I'm just going to show up on your doorstep.
And we'll get a deli coffee. You can watch me smoke.
Oh, I'll just suck it in.
Leslie will be back from hiatus in a few weeks. In the meantime, we have more episodes from the wonderful Carrie Kenny to come. Does listening to Filling the Void fill your void? Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Powered by ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.